Prologue. He's come back. Mommy's asleep or she's sick again. I hide and curl up small under the table in the kitchen. Through my fingers, I can see Mommy. She is asleep on the couch. Her hand is on the sticky green rug, and he's wearing his big boots with a shiny buckle and standing over Mommy, shouting. He hits Mommy with a belt. Get up! Get up! You are one fucked up bitch! 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 Mommy makes a sobbing noise. Stop. Please stop. Mommy doesn't scream. Mommy curls up, small. I have my fingers in my ears, and I close my eyes. The sound stops. He turns, and I can see his boots as he stomps into the kitchen. He still has the belt. He is trying to find me. He stoops down and grins. He smells nasty, of cigarettes and drink. There you are, you little shit. A chilling wail wakes him. Christ! He's drenched in sweat, and his heart is pounding. What the fuck? He sits bolt upright in bed and puts his head in his hands. Fuck. They're back. The noise was me. He takes a deep, steadying breath, trying to rid his mind and nostrils of the smell of cheap bourbon and stale Camel cigarettes.
Chapter 1. I have survived day 3 post-Christian and my first day at work. It has been a welcome distraction. The time has flown by in a haze of new faces, work to do, and Mr. Jack Hyde. Mr. Jack Hyde. He smiles down at me, his blue eyes twinkling, as he leans against my desk.
Excellent work, Anna. I think we're going to make a great team.
Somehow, I manage to curl my lips upward in a semblance of a smile. I'll be off, if that's okay with you, I murmur.
Of course. It's 5:30. I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night, Jack.
Good night, Anna.
Collecting my bag, I shrug on my jacket and head for the door. Out in the early evening air of Seattle, I take a deep breath. It doesn't begin to fill the void in my chest, a void that's been present since Saturday morning. A painful, hollow reminder of my loss. I walk toward the bus stop with my head down, staring at my feet, and contemplating being without my beloved Wanda, my old Beetle, or the Audi. I shut the door on that thought immediately. No, don't think about him. Of course, I can afford a car, a nice new car. I suspect he has been overgenerous in his payment, and the thought leaves a bitter taste in my mouth, but I dismiss it and try to keep my mind as numb and as blank as possible. I can't think about him. I don't want to start crying again, not out on the street. The apartment is empty. I miss Kate, and I imagine her lying on a beach in Barbados, sipping a cool cocktail. I turn on the flat-screen television so there's noise to fill the vacuum and provide some semblance of company, but I don't listen or watch. I sit and stare blankly at the brick wall. I am numb. I feel nothing but the pain. How long must I endure this? The door buzzer startles me from my anguish, and my heart skips a beat. Who could that be? I press the intercom. Delivery for Ms. Steele. A bored, disembodied voice answers, and disappointment crashes through me. I listlessly make my way downstairs and find a young man noisily chewing gum, holding a large cardboard box and leaning against the front door. I sign for the package and take it upstairs. The box is huge and surprisingly light. Inside are 2 dozen long-stemmed white roses and a card. Congratulations on your first day at work. I hope it went well. And thank you for the glider. That was very thoughtful. It has pride a place on my desk. Christian. I stare at the typed card, the hollow in my chest